right, welcome to the Scouting Report, the official sports podcast of the Bradley Scout. Welcome back for another week. This week we have sports reporter Colton Kaler along with me and a very special guest, Scouts managing editor Larry Larson.
How we doing, fellas? Happy Deshaun Henry Day to all those who observe.
2-22-22
indeed. Well,
episode 2
as well. Twos are wild.
Yes, we planned that.
definitely. Well, Larry, it's good to have you in here. You know, I know you talked about so bad about wanting to be on here, and you know, we made some scheduling things work out. Now we got you on here, and I don't know if the world's ready for that, but. Anyway,
we'll chop it up. You know, I'm excited. Thanks for having me, guys. You know, I don't want to throw off the flow, so I'll just present. What
yeah,
comes
no, sit
to
in the
mind.
Sit in the corner and just listen to me and Colton talk the whole.
Well, I did get the bad mic. A little inside baseball here. I'm sitting next to a stack of old newspapers because my mic tower won't stand up by itself. So, got the short end of the stick there. Took one for the team.
No kidding. I mean, obviously We're getting by. We're getting by with the equipment we have. But anyways, Larry, glad you're on here, and Colton, you as well, returning for another week. So, guys, I want to talk about Bradley winning against ISU, 72-64 on Saturday. Broke a 3-game losing streak against our I-74 rivals.
Yeah, that was a very good college basketball game. First half, I mean, it seemed like ISU was just a little unconscious from three. Kind of annoying, to be honest, because there was a lot of just forced shots that somehow found their way in. But I thought Bradley really weathered the storm early of ISU.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, Bradley dominated the second half. So, overall, a great game, and good to come out of the winning end.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game if you're Bradley, and if you want to hang around near the top of the Missouri Valley Conference, you got to win that game. And
yeah.
I thought, you know, especially coming off of the loss at Southern Illinois, you really wanted to make a statement in that game and come out and run the Redbirds out of the gym. They didn't do that.
Not quite.
It was kind of an ugly game, honestly. I mean, not a lot of flow, 44 combined fouls.
Yeah.
That's not exactly fun to watch. It was a great crowd. That was fun. But other than that, I mean, definitely some positive takeaways for Bradley in the second half. First half was not a great half for Bradley. They finished strong. Second half, no turnovers. They went 0-for-7 from 3, but they still found a way to get the job done, and I think that's really important. I really like the aggression on the inside.
Yeah.
In the paint, Rank Mast, a whole lot of dunks. Malvi Leons is taking leaps every single week, although I think 12 of his 21 points came at the free throw line.
Yeah.
I mean, you really got to like what you're seeing from him right
that's
now.
That's true. I mean, 21 points is 21 points, and that was good to see from Malvi Leons. I know, I mean, you know, the potential is there, like, you know, to be a, you know, 15 points a game or so scoring, and he's kind of been hanging around that 9-10 mark or so overall, right around the same in Valley play as well. I mean, he's a guy that, like, you know, he'll always put points on the scoreboard, but, like, you know, before Saturday wouldn't really have many breakout games. I think that was a breakout game, though, for Malvi Leons. And one, Larry, touching on something that you talked about was their aggression, and I think that in the second half, like, Bradley just started to wear ISU down a lot. They, you know, they were getting downhill to the bucket, and ISU just looked gassed. Like, they couldn't keep up that pace that they had in the first half, couldn't keep up the shooting as well, and that's something that we've started to see, like, a little bit within the last couple of days here of MVC basketball is some of these teams are just playing worn out. I mean, I watched Loyola and ISU play yesterday. That was an ugly, ugly game. I forgot what the final score was, but it was like 59-50, something like that. I mean, Loyola looked terrible, still came away with a win. ISU looked even worse. But, I mean, I could just tell that watching that game, you know, I watched the end of Indiana State Drake last night as well. And Indiana State was within about 5 or so, and they just collapsed like the last 5 minutes, ended up losing by 16. So I think, you know, pacing yourself and, you know, having that stamina is real important right around this time in the Valley. And I think Bradley's fortunate because there are some teams that are playing 3-4 games within the span of a week, and Bradley is right on schedule as far as getting all their games in.
Yeah, definitely. That's huge for Bradley right now. I almost tweeted last night watching some of those games, hearing how they were going. Bradley's got to be happy that they've got the night off.
Yeah.
At least from a game. I'm sure they practiced. But, you know, you look at the last few weeks, obviously Deshaun Henry's been out for some time. Terry Roberts had that ankle sprain. Jason Kent's
now out, yeah.
Connor Hickman was a little banged up at mm-hmm. one point. So this is the point in the season where you get those bumps and bruises. They start to nag a little bit. Maybe some stuff that wasn't a big deal at the start of the season is now a little more nagging. So you're right. Those days off are definitely big.
I think a big part of Saturday, backtracking a little bit, was you mentioned 44 fouls. I mean, not often 5 minutes into a half are you in double bonus.
No kidding.
I mean, it was, I thought it was like dumb fouls. Like, ISU would not stop reaching or slapping Bradley.
They had two backcourt fouls. Two stupid backcourt fouls.
You're 65 feet away from the hoop and you're fouling. I mean, what are you doing? And so it didn't make a, you know, obviously that really dictated, I thought, the second half and letting Bradley get to the free throw line. But, you know, looking at both teams shot 43% from the field, but ISU shoots 50% from three and Bradley shoots 21%. So, I mean, there's a huge – and I think the three-point baskets are really what kept ISU in the game and kind of – especially in that first half. It wasn't the greatest half, but, you know, good teams find a way to win, especially when you don't play late or when you are playing late in the season, and Bradley did that.
Certainly, and Larry, going back to what you were saying, you're talking about the injuries we've had this season, and I know he's missed a couple games, hasn't been 100% healthy the entire season, but can we just appreciate that Ari Boya is still healthy? I don't want to jinx it, but Ari Boya is still healthy at the end of the season, 2 games away from March Madness, and you know, he's still playing well, he's playing healthy, and I think that about 10 minutes their game thing has been starting to work, and you know, hopefully he can, you know, make an impact here, as, you know, these might be the last games of his college career here in the coming weeks. So yeah. I haven't heard anything about whether or not he'd be using a COVID year. I know Mikey Howell is not. So this is his last shot in college basketball. So, you know, certainly, you know, Ari and Mikey, they'll be celebrate senior day or night. Is it 7 p.m.?
It's 7 p.m.
7 p.m. on a Saturday.
Like, that's late for an old man like me.
That is. Yeah, that is. That.
But, sorry to.
No, go ahead.
Off.
Go
Ari
ahead.
Boya, you know, I'm frankly not surprised he's stayed healthy at this point, just based on how careful the coaching staff has been with him.
Very.
I mean, right from the jump of the season, you talk to everybody preseason, even Ari. They said the number one goal is to keep Ari healthy. Usually when you ask players and coaches what are your goals for the season or goals for a specific player, they don't say, oh, we really got to try and keep him healthy. But
yeah,
Ari's been a bit of a unique case, and it's been great to see him make an impact in certain games. Some games he won't, but other games he will. Illinois State, maybe not a game where he had an impact and went 0-for-4 at the line.
Mm-hmm.
Rough game for him, but you know, you see some other games. The Evansville game jumps off the sheet where Bradley has such a big size advantage
against Evansville.
Ari out there,
yeah,
and nobody's really going to be able to stop him. And I think honestly, Illinois State, there is potential for that. You look at their paint players.
Liam McChesney is a stick. He's a great player. He's been coming on great. But one thing I noticed is he is a stick.
Yeah, Bradley didn't exactly expose that matchup.
No,
they did with Rink Mast and setting screens and backdoor screens and Rink slipping through those. But there haven't been a whole lot of games this season where Ari's been the hot hand. I know Valparaiso was one.
Yep.
Where it was like a dunk contest.
Oh, that, man. That was well worth the 3-hour road trip. I was, you know, halfway through our drive there, I was like, man, I hope this is worth the trip on a weeknight in the middle of the school year, no less. But
-2 degrees.
Yeah, very. That was a very cold walk into the arc. But, no.
Well, my point being about Ari is I think he's a sleeping giant. Mm-hmm. You know, you get to Arch, and maybe Rink's having an off game. Mal's not getting it going on the inside. I think Boya's a guy where you can draw up some plays and you get him going and you get his confidence going, because I think so much of it is mental with him when you deal with so many injuries.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to bounce back from. But if you get his confidence going, he could be really hard to stop.
Definitely. I think one other bench player, you know, is having a lot of confidence lately is Ville Taapinainen. I mean, I remember at the start of the season, he was really not having a great year at all. I mean, he was struggling to, you know, kind of just find his shooting stroke again, but he's really started to come on, like, off the bench. And one thing that jumps out for me for Ville is, I believe, I'm checking, yeah, his three-point field goal percentage is higher than his overall field goal percentage. So, I mean, he's been a real great, you know, it's a Ville that I know a lot of Bradley fans know and love, kind of coming back. So I think the bench, I know I've kind of been a emerging factor the last couple weeks, but I think that's going to be huge going into Arch Madness.
Yeah, Ville's, I think, starting to find his stride a little bit. Only 8 points on Saturday, but he's doing a little bit more of everything. I mean, 5 boards, 2 steals, you know, blocking there. And his intensity that he's kind of been able to bring off the bench, even now in the starting lineup with, you know, Kent out, it's a little bit different than what we've been seeing, but I think he's starting to find those open shots and he's starting to knock them down.
Yeah, for sure. So it's kind of looking forward to Riley plays Missouri State tomorrow night. This is recorded on Tuesday, so tomorrow Riley travels to Missouri State. That's a big game, potential seeding implications. What are you guys' thoughts?
Well, anytime you go to Springfield, it's tough because it's such a long travel grind, so to speak. Bradley flies down there.
They don't fly
anywhere else. So that makes it a little easier.
Well, they probably flew to the Virgin Islands.
Well, I'm talking about in the valley, of course. You think they're going to take the bus down to Florida Keys and then, what, take the boat?
I don't know. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, man. flying in the valley, at least, usually don't fly anywhere else. So that makes it a little more fun. Obviously, you know, don't want to dwell on it too much, but Bradley's surely got a bad taste in their mouth from their last trip to Springfield, which was really bad.
We'll leave it at
that. Off the court. But so I'm sure, first of all, they'll be eager to try and get back in the win column in Springfield. That's a place where they've had a few big wins there in the last few seasons. I was talking to Cody Schindler, Bradley grad, voice of the Bradley women's basketball team on ESPN+. We were talking about a game a few years back. I think it was my freshman year, so it would have been 18-19. Where Bradley went and just ran him out of the gym. I think it was my sophomore year, actually, so 19-20. They almost put up 100 points. But the dangerous thing to me about this Missouri State team is they lost so bad against Northern Iowa. They are going to have a bad taste in their mouth. Isaiah Mosley's been slumping a little bit lately.
He's looked human, we'll say that.
Yeah, well, he didn't look human there for that, you know, 5-6 stretch where he's dropping 35 a game. I think he's due for a big game. You're going to face a really motivated Missouri State group. So I'm going to be interested to see how that plays out.
Not only is there a little bit of a bad taste from the last time we went there, shoot, I'm still having a little bit of flashbacks and PTSD from when the first matchup this year when they came here and beat us on a buzzer beater that I caught on camera sitting there courtside.
Yep.
Still just replaying that video is not fun, but a game that Bradley played really well in and still came out on the wrong end. And I'm sure the previous matchup from this year is going to be played quite a bit within the last, you know, week and leading up to the game tomorrow. So I think, you know, there'll be a little bit of extra motivation to make sure what happened at Carver, you know, earlier this year doesn't happen again.
Yeah, it's a measuring stick game, I think. This is a game where Brian Wardle could say to the locker room, hey, this is going to be a challenge similar to what we're probably going to see in St. Louis. You know, you're going to get somebody's best effort. It's the last week of the season. Everybody's playing for seeding. Missouri State's right there in the thick of it, and so is Bradley. So I'm going to look for Arch Madness-style intensity from this game.
Definitely, and one quick key here from me. I think the first time these two teams played, Lukai Patterson on Missouri State had a career night, at least up to that point. And, you know, look at Missouri State. They have Mosley, they have Prim. Obviously, two easy selections for all Valley picks there. But I think if you can, you know, if you can contain two out of the three of Prim, Mosley, and Patterson, I think you're in good position there. But it's kind of just brief key, at least that I had. We'll take a quick break, come back, talk some more Bradley basketball, MVC basketball, and some more Bradley sports as well. You've been listening to the Scouting Report. Welcome back to the Scouting Report, the second episode here of 2022 on 2/22 of 2022, Deshaun Henry Day, as Matt Russ let us know on Twitter earlier. And speaking of Deshaun Henry, guys, now one question we got in our mailbag from the ever loyal Bradley fan Tony Seghetti.
We're burying the lead here. Mailbag segment. New segment. Send in your questions.
It is a new segment.
Doesn't matter if it's men's basketball, women's basketball, any
baseball, softball, tennis, even golf. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Tennis, some golf, cross country, track.
Send it to us on Twitter.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Any questions you have about anything Bradley related, let us know each week. We will address all of them in the upcoming podcast as best as we are able to. So, anyways, before I kind of jumped the gun there. The mailbag segment for the week is a question we got from Tony Seghetti asking what Deshaun Henry's injury status is. I haven't heard anything in the last couple days. Haven't been able to be around the team lately. But as far as I know, he's still out. Looks like he's not going to make a return, at least probably tomorrow, I would guess.
So, yeah, I don't think so. And I think it's going to be one of those things where Bradley's going to keep it low-key until it actually happens. There's been no timetable, no status update since the initial update of he's out indefinitely since the second concussion. Considering that this is his third career concussion, I think it would be a safe assumption that he does not come back the rest of the season. Again, this is all pure speculation on our end. We haven't gotten any other updates. But since it was the third concussion of his career, I think there are a few things that could happen. He doesn't come back for the rest of the season. Two, he stays out for the rest of the regular season and then comes back for Arch Madness. And those are the two options. I thought maybe there was a third one in my head, but those are the two things.
The third one is
that we win Arch Madness and he comes back for the tournament.
Like, at that point, you know, it's mid-major basketball if you're not back for the conference tournament. And obviously, with head injuries, it's not exactly a linear thing. Everybody kind of goes at their own speed, and it's very sensitive. So maybe at that point he'd have a little more time and it'd be better, but I just don't know.
And even if he does come back, it's not – they're going to limit him. I mean, you almost have to, looking out for his personal health. So it's not like, you know, he's going to come back and start averaging, you know, 15, 8, and, you know, about 4 blocks or something. It's going to be a little bit limited of a role. So it'd be great to see him back, but, again, they're obviously going to be looking at his best interests.
Yeah, and he looks – to be doing all right, which mm-hmm. is a good thing, and you know he's been doing some stuff at practice and the practices that I've seen, but obviously it's not contact. I tweeted a few weeks ago, I think maybe it was a week and a half ago when I went to Bradley practice, that Deshaun Henry was dressed and like, mm-hmm. passing, but his activities were limited. And I got a bunch of retweets. Everybody's like eyeball emoji, and I'm thinking to myself, man, like he's just dressed at practice. He's not like getting up and dunking or anything like that. You know, he's taking some standing jumpers. It's nothing crazy. But all that, granted, is good to see. But let's not jump the gun yet. I don't think that anything is really imminent.
It just shows, I mean, how much the Bradley fans love Deshaun Henry, and he's certainly been a great ambassador to the Bradley program. Great guy on and off the court as well. Certainly one of the nicest players, one of the first Bradley players I ever talked to, actually. Back during a freshman statistics course, one of my very first classes ever at Bradley, I had with Deshaun Henry and Koch Barr as well.
I sat
next to Deshaun and Koch, and I was a wide-eyed freshman there, and those are two real nice guys. So you know, it's certainly been great to have him in the program. One thing that me and one of my buddies who also follows Bradley basketball very intently, Carson Osborne, one thing that we've been talking about is if Deshaun is available to come back, you know, do you, like, how much is that going to change this, like, change, like, what the rotations are going to be, like, what the, like, how they're going to gel on the court? Because he's only played in 11 games this year, which is, you know, maybe about a third or so of, like, you know, the regular season games. And, you know, most of these younger guys or newer guys, like, you know, Malavi and Terry Roberts and Connor Hickman and Mikey Howell, they haven't really had that much experience playing with him. So I'd be curious to see what this Bradley team would look like when he's on the floor, because we haven't seen much of that this year.
You know, for me, I'm not worried about chemistry because Deshaun's been the leader, you know, since the summer, really trying to get the team to gel. And I think that Wardle would tell you that, and I think Deshaun would tell you that as well. I think everybody's very gelled off the floor and has a good relationship, but you make a good point in terms of the on-court chemistry, and that's something that took a very long time for Bradley to get because they started 1-5. They started so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they've played more together, it's looked a little more cohesive. So that could be a problem. That really wouldn't be my foremost worry, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Colton brought up a good point in the sense that he'd be very limited even if he did come back and was fully healthy.
Exactly.
Because you can get your cardio up in practice, but it's really hard to simulate a game.
Yeah.
Especially coming off of an injury. So he'd be pretty limited. You know, maybe he'd start, but I don't think his minutes would be up near what they would be.
So. Yeah, I would say maybe about 10 to 15 minutes or so. I think he'd certainly probably eat into probably Zeke Montgomery's role a little bit, which would be tough to do because Zeke has been playing really good as of late. And, you know, he's certainly, I think he's kind of this year's Jason Kent, I would say, for the Braves. You know, Kent had his flashes last year, came on strong at the end, and you know, this year he's, you know, been pretty solid for the most part. So, you know, certainly
that's literally what he told me. He's like, I'm kind of the Jason of this year.
Did he really?
Yes.
I had no idea he said that. So I guess I'm gonna call myself a great mind, but I guess great minds think alike. I know that's I'm not as smart as some people think I am. So.
Who thinks you're smart?
My parents.
Yeah. I would hope so.
Yeah, definitely. But anyways, before we get too off the rails, Colton, one thing you texted me earlier in the week and said you had some things you wanted to talk about regarding like the fan experience at Carver Arena. It was a season-high crowd, about 6,900, I want to say.
6,900.
Was the listed
crowd for a Saturday.
Yeah, was the listed attendance, and then I mean that blew the record attendance, which was 5,109 against Loyola out of the water. So that was certainly good to see. But Colton, I'm curious to see curious to hear what you have to say about disregarding like the whole fan experience at Carver.
Yeah, so I mean obviously you know we got to take baby steps here. I think the biggest thing that us as a, you know, a group and some other students have talked about is just getting people back in Carver.
Mm-hmm.
And supporting Bradley. So it's baby steps. One, I'd like to start here. As a St. Louis Blues fan, they have a tradition. You know, if you've ever been to Enterprise Center for a game, at the end of the national anthem, instead of Home of the Brave, everyone in the entire arena, Home of the Blues. They yell. It is a crime, in my opinion, that the entire Carver Arena does not scream Brave at the end of the game. You are the Bradley Braves. I feel like it just fits so perfectly as the fan environment, and it just creates that character of Bradley basketball and being in Carver Arena. So that's number one. Number two, the light show. It's getting better. I think we've got to get more people to know about it. I think not a whole lot of
I don't think a lot of people know about it. And, you know, given, I mean, I would say, I mean, sorry to interrupt, but like, you know, my quick take is that I feel like, you know, the type of people that go to Bradley games, like, you know, usually, like, you know, it's easy to get students to download an app because they probably, like, you know, they're pretty probably tech savvy and can figure out how to do it pretty quick. But like, you know, you gotta think that, like, you know, families and, you know, older people that come to the games, you know, they might not be, you know, quite into that as much, or they might not know how to do it, you know, or have a smartphone even. So, I mean, you know. But I mean, certainly I like that's something that I would love to see. I love the idea of it, but I think they just, you know, it's just tough, you know, trying to get everybody, like, you know, all, you know, get at least maybe 50% of the fans. I mean, that's still, you know, a couple thousand fans you have to get to download the app. And I mean, I know that the app was just released recently, which is good on the part of the Braves. And I was happy to see that, but you know, certainly, I know if that can, you know, take off next year, I think that'd be really cool.
And I will say the Home of the Braves thing. It's been a thing.
Is
not
it really?
Not for the whole arena. The student section.
The cheerleaders do it, pretty
well,
much.
I did it my freshman year when we actually had a bit of a student section for some games.
Oh, man.
They'd say Braves on Brave, and we'd hit it with the Braves on Brave. So that was fun, but obviously a lot of things have happened between then and now to where students just haven't come to games as often. So
we got to bring that back. I don't know. It came to me. But number two, what happened to Put Your Hands Up in the Air? I mean, it's the absolute most iconic tip-off song you could ever have. It is electric in Carver Arena when they play it. And I don't know whose decision it was. I don't know if it came from the team. I don't know if someone's just like, let's just get rid of it. But it's electric. Larry, yeah. it looks like you had a little bit of differing opinion.
Well, I like the song. It was a few years ago that they got rid of it. I think they got rid of it mid-season in, 2018-19, I think?
They played it for the TBT this year, and it was...
I was going to say, I remember hearing it recently, and I was like, did they really do away with it that recently? But I think I might have been thinking of TBT, possibly, but...
You know, I'm pretty sure I know what happened with that, but it's off-the-record information.
All right.
So there's that. But also, there are a lot of great songs you can play at tip-off.
There are.
I like what the women have pivoted to.
Yeah.
From Put Your Hands Up in the Air to just Pump It Up.
Yeah.
Pump It Up by Endor.
Mm-hmm. I also love the music that the women's team has for the intro video. Now, I know that intro video, you know, kind of underwent some changes as the season went along, but Jacob Steinberg, one of the main, you know, videographers and, you know, creative content guys, you know, he put a great song on there. I forgot what the name of it's called. I just added it into my Spotify playlist, honestly. Blow Your Mind by Ohana Bam. It's a great song. I listen to it sometimes on my brief, about 2-3 minute drive to class. It really kind of pumps me up, gets me going for the day, so, you know.
Drive to class.
I do. I mean,
your 2-minute drive to class?
It saves some time, and dude, it's cold outside. I mean, we were all outside about half an hour or so ago. Actually, more like an hour or so ago. But I mean, other than the last 2 or 3 days, it's been pretty cold. And I, you know, being from Wisconsin, I've been around the cold my whole life. You know, it's not something I really want to have to deal with too much more of. I can take it, but you know, if I have my car right outside my house, I'm driving to class, and plus. You know, the lot where I park is right across where all my classes are from. So it's just too easy, too convenient. So
my last point, I'll get to it quickly. At times, the atmosphere just feels dead. I mean, I go to a lot of Illinois games, season ticket holder. The fans know when to get into it. They know when to yell and, you know, cheer.
Mm-hmm.
If things are starting to kind of, you can feel, you know, Illinois not playing well, you know, the fans, they start cheering and they get into it. There was a huge pivotal moment, I can't remember if it was in the first half or the second half, where Bradley went on a bit of a run and got ISU to take a timeout, and it was crickets in there. And I'm like, people, come on, get on your feet, clap, cheer a little bit. Nothing. And I'm like, I don't know if we need to teach them, you know, at what point to get up and cheer or just to cheer, period.
I think the crowd's pretty streaky. Like, you know, they're very quiet at some points, but, you know, they've also, I mean, like, you know, when Rink Mass had his trio of dunks, you know, and we started, like, you know, making some big shots, I mean, like, the crowd really came alive, and that was one of the loudest I've heard Carver all year. You know, so when they play good, they get really into it, but I think, like what you're saying, like, you know, when they kind of need an extra boost or whatever, I think, like, you know, I think the crowd could kind of give some of that, because they're, like, the crowd is very reactionary. Like, you know, if they see something good on the court, they'll react to it, but they won't really take the action to kind of, you know, get them, kind of keep them pumped up, keep them going, and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because Bradley's demographic is a little bit older, and then students just don't go to the games on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they'll get there one day.
Definitely. Well, yeah, certainly some good discussion there. We're going to take a quick break again and come back talking some Bradley baseball and softball on the Scouting Report, the official sports podcast of the Bradley Scout.
This presentation is powered by the Bradley Scout Sports. All Braves, all the time.
Welcome back into the Scouting Report. Sports co-editor Jonathan Michael here, along with sports reporter Colton Kaler and managing editor and Bradley men's basketball specialist Larry Larson.
Specialist. I usually just go with beat reporter.
Beat reporter, yeah. Well, I mean, we've kind of, the reason I didn't say beat reporters is we've kind of split it this year, but I mean, I would say, yes. I mean,
close enough.
Still beat reporter. If you have co-beat reporter, you know, but Anyways, getting past that, we're talking about some more Bradley sports here. Obviously, we talked about men's basketball, but, you know, women's basketball also going on as well. They played against Missouri State on Sunday and SIU on Friday. And baseball and softball were also in action over the weekend as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess we'll start with women's basketball. I was there on Sunday for that game. You know, Missouri State coming to town, obviously everybody knows the deal with Missouri State women's basketball, just a force of nature at this point in Missouri Valley. Not in first place this year.
Surprising.
SIU, really a tough weekend for Bradley in terms of scheduling SIU.
Yeah.
And then Missouri State, but, I mean, Bradley played really, really well for three quarters. I think it was a
four-point
game right around the media timeout of the third quarter. And obviously that's not something you expect, but you got to give a lot of credit to that Bradley team. I think they have made a lot of improvements with a very young group mm-hmm. over the course of the season, and to lose your leading scorer first game of conference play in Gabby Hawk, that's really tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. I've been especially impressed with Tatum Koenig and how she's stepped up to be a scorer because
yeah.
she really hasn't had to be that scorer her entire time here because last year she had Nigel White, Laisha Petrie, and Gabby Hawk just to distribute the ball to.
Yep.
Now it's her and Caroline Waite when Koenig's a senior and Waite's just a freshman. So
mm-hmm.
she's done a great job stepping up for the team. I think point being with that performance on Sunday, obviously still a lot of strides to be made, and especially offensively if you ask me, but they're a team that could probably, if they sneak into Friday, they could scare somebody and maybe make it to Saturday.
It could. I mean, certainly not, I wouldn't say likely, at least on paper, but like,
could happen.
Like you said, anything can happen at Arch Madness or Hoops in the Heartland as well. And Larry, talking about just, you know, players that have stepped up, one player that jumps out to me, has kind of jumped out to me the last couple games, has been Abby Draper, the freshman,
oh, yeah.
freshman forward. And, you know, I really like her game a lot. I think she's very versatile. She can, you know, play on the perimeter. She can, you know, also kind of get down low as well. And honestly, she was the first, you know, newcomer to the team that really kind of caught my eye back at the red-white scrimmage, which feels like forever ago. Larry, I remember me and you were announcing that game for Scout Sports Radio, but Draper, actually, no, it wasn't the red-white scrimmage. We were announcing the exhibition. Yes, it was the exhibition against McKendree. But I remember at the red-white scrimmage seeing Abby Draper play. I was very impressed with her. She got off a little bit of a slow start to the season, and you know, that's to be expected for, you know, most freshmen coming into the Valley. But she's played really well lately, and, you know, obviously, you know, it sucks that Tam Canning's in her senior year as well, but, you know, you got Caroline Waite, who's just a freshman. She's going to be an all-Valley player easily later down the road in her career. You got Draper as well. You know, if you can maybe start to get some of your other forwards going, like T.T. Danso, Isis Fitch as well. You know, Sierra Morrow, also, she had a great stretch in that, I believe it was that third period against Missouri State, and she's gotten some foul trouble. That's really honestly what kind of killed Bradley is.
Oh, yeah.
They had a bunch of foul trouble, girls with, you know, 3-4 fouls early in the second half. So, you know, I think if you take that away, I think it's, you know, the game would have been even closer. Maybe, who knows, they could have pulled out even a win. So, you know, certainly things I think are looking up for Andrea Gorski and Braves women's basketball as well. But I kind of want to hop over to baseball now. It's kind of a crazy week for the baseball team. They were scheduled to go down to Incarnate Word in Texas, but last week's snowstorm prevented them from being able to get on their plane to go down there. So they're able to adapt, and they were able to play a three-game series against Western Michigan, I believe in Kentucky somewhere.
At Eastern Kentucky.
At Eastern Kentucky, yes.
So that's baseball in February at its finest, exactly. Baby. Gotta love it. But I was really impressed with their start to the season. I mean, to have to pivot that fast
mm-hmm.
and then to be able to take two out of three from another solid mid-major program. Obviously, Western Michigan is no powerhouse, but, you know, pretty comparable to an MBC team in mm-hmm. the MAC. Taking two out of three, and the bats really looked good. Usually at the beginning of the season, because it's so cold out, it's the pitching that dominates, and it's the bats that take a little bit longer to heat up. For Bradley, I think it's the opposite. The pitching struggled a little bit, 11 runs that first, or rather 8 runs that first game, and the second game, they had a really nice bounce back. But the second game of the doubleheader on Sunday, I think they just ran out of arms. I mean, anytime you
19-17 game. I was gonna say, like, you know, I guess the Bradley football team is back and they're just disguised as the baseball team.
that was an interesting one. But the good news and the biggest takeaway from that series for me is the bats are really, really good. So that's definitely something to be happy about if you're a Braves fan.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look forward to. You know, anytime you can take 2 of 3, you're gonna take it. You know, unless you're playing, you know, some little league team, obviously, you know, take all three there. But
you would hope,
especially on short notice, to quickly, you know, as Larry mentioned, to turn around and, you know, drive down to Kentucky, and just, it's not easy. But at the end of the day, you know, you got to go out and play, and then especially, you know, with the pitching staff already being shorthanded, and then you get thrown a doubleheader on Sunday. Obviously, we had a few position players had to come in, and unfortunately, things may not have gone as well for the position players pitching as they would like. But anytime you can put up 11-7 and 17 in 3 games, I mean, you'll take that.
Definitely. And you mentioned one of the position players pitching, Peter Hansen, came in that last game and gave up a grand slam. But maybe that buries the lead of his weekend a little bit, because he had a really nice performance.
He did.
Richard Freshman hit .625, went 5-for-8 with 3 RBIs in those games. So it's not too shabby. Maybe he can just forget about that 99 ERA. He's not a pitcher. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's something that he'll be losing too much sleep about. I mean, also another player. I forgot which game it was. I know only 2 out of the 3 box scores were posted from this past week. But I believe it was in the first game, in his first collegiate game, Cal McGinnis, the new second baseman, a freshman, who was ranked as one of the top freshmen, or the top second baseman overall in the top 100 or so. I forgot what list it was, but you know, he was a really highly touted guy coming in. He went 3-for-3, I think, in his first game. So I'm really excited to see what he can do. Jackson Chatterton, who was the main second baseman last year, is now playing right field. So that's, you know, kind of a, you know, different lineup for the Braves this year, but certainly I think the bats will be there. You know, Connor O'Brien is back. You know, Ryan Vogel can obviously get on base real well and be a demon on the base pass as well. But, you know, yeah, pitching staff is a little shorthanded right now. You know, Dalton Moll, one of their best pitchers from last year, is out right now. I'm trying to think of my mind's blanking on who the other pitchers who are out are right now, but. Yeah, certainly. I think the pitching's, you got to keep an eye on that as well. But I believe who pitched the second game, was that Jacob Kisting?
I believe it was Kisting.
Yeah,
I think Jaws was the Friday starter, but Kisting was really impressive.
Yeah, he was. He's a ICC transfer, correct?
No, he's just a freshman.
Oh, he is. Okay, gotcha.
One thing I don't want to skip over here. You know, going back to that first game, and you mentioned it or mentioned his name. Jackson Chatterton, the go-ahead grand slam to basically, you know, open that thing wide up for Bradley late. I mean, that was obviously a huge turning point. And a guy who found a lot of power in his bat towards the end of the season last year and really found his stride. And it looks like he's picking up, you know, right where he left off. And Peter Hansen, that was someone that when I talked to Coach Dominguez, you know, for the season preview, that was one that he was really looking forward to see how he was going to play this year, and someone that, you know, he's going to count on a little bit. And he had a really good first weekend there. And then, obviously, you mentioned Cal McGinnis and homered his first career homer in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
And Bradley, you know, is able to get the win out of that one. So, you know, a good weekend.
Definitely. And also a pretty good weekend for the Bradley softball team as well. They were down at the Roar City Invite. Now in Nashville, that's a pretty cool name for a tournament. And, oh boy, Larry's growling over here. We're going to have to cut this podcast short. Guys, Larry's getting off the rails. But, some of that trail mix that he's been eating. But
I get fueled up, man.
You do. That cold outside was taking away some of your energy. I kind of feel that.
I need lunch. So.
Oh, well, that's a big factor as well. So
yeah. You got to get fueled up for a podcast. But, you know, Bradley, I think this is an invite or a bounce back that they really needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go and opened the season at the Kickoff Classic down in Phoenix. First of all, I bet they're happy to get away from some of the cold weather here. That Phoenix doesn't sound too bad. And
Roar
City invite down in Nashville, probably a little bit warmer than Peoria as well. But, I mean, you play some mid-major opponents down there and really kind of assert your dominance, especially against Tennessee State and IUPUI, really just taking care of business in both of those games. Played two close ones against Miami, Ohio, a good MAC program. So,
yeah,
a lot of positives to be taken away. And the biggest thing for me for the softball team this year is Cameron Montier. Just a legit player that did a lot last year. Really had a breakout season, and she's just picking up where she left off. Really the leadoff hitter that was so consistent last year, hitting .357 so far in 9 games. So.
Yeah, and for me, I think the breakout player for me has been outfielder Samantha Smith. I think she hit below the Mendoza line last year, but so far this year she's in .345 with 2 homers already. And 6 RBIs as well. So I know the Braves, they lost a lot of power from the lineup. Like, they lost Jillian Navarro.
Tyus Thompson,
Stacia Seton as well. So it's good to see that Samantha Smith, you know, bring that power back as well. And Jordy Vanderwerf also, who, you know, didn't play, I wouldn't say she played great last year. She obviously some limited time, but she's really stepped up a lot in .273 right now. She's got a homer and leads the team with 10 RBIs. So that's certainly, you know, encouraging to watch out for. For the softball team as well, and they got an interesting invitation, I guess you would say. This coming week, they'll play Syracuse and Auburn, number 21st ranked Auburn in the country. Now at the Plains of an invite in Auburn, Alabama, they'll also have 2 games against Delaware State and 1 against Louisiana Monroe as well. So
SEC Network action.
Well, yeah, SEC Network. Yeah,
it just means more.
It does mean more, Larry. You can tune into that one against Auburn. It's like 5 p.m. Central Time on SEC Network. Also, it should be, if you're an ESPN Plus subscriber, you should be able to watch that. So that should wrap it up for me. Guys, any final thoughts you want to talk about?
I think we kind of touched on a lot.
I think we did. It was a very comprehensive podcast, I would say.
Send in those mailbag questions for next week.
Yes, in the mailbag questions. I want to see, like, I want the DMs and the comments to be overflowing. Like, I want to answer as many questions as,
you heard that, folks. Slide into Jonathan's DMs.
Not like that. No. Not that far. But if we're talking Bradley sports, by any means, slide into my DMs. Anything else, you know, I mean, if you're offering me a job or anything else like that, sure, that's fine as well. But, you know, none of that romantic
stuff, guys.
None of that romantic stuff. I'm off the market, so. Anyways, that.
Just brag, dude.
I mean, all three of us here are off the market. I'm not bragging to you guys. I mean, you guys are on the same.
You just sound braggadocious now. It's gotten personal.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll take this outside into the hallway. Me and Larry might go fight in the hallway real quick, but. Anyways, thank you for tuning in to the Scouting Report podcast, the official sports podcast of the Bradley Scout. For my partners, Colton Kaler and Larry Larson, I'm Jonathan Michael signing off on this one, and we'll hope to talk to you next week.